people carry on with their lives. People are farming, people are in business, people are moving about. The streets of Kabul are crowded with cars. Commerce continues. You see people going back and forth to market, farmers, etc. But at the same time, every day, in ways big or small, there are security incidents. I think the whole development of the past years of these improvised explosive devices has added extra measure of fear and concern to people. Because when you're in traffic surrounded by cars, you don't know if the car next to you is a terrorist or whatever you want to call them. While staff is there, not against UN staff, but against other staff, against the NATO forces, there was a donkey IED. Now, when you see a donkey in many of these countries, it's the last thing you want to expect is that this donkey is going to explode. We've also had recently bicycle IEDs. And of course, bicycles all over, they can go through traffic, come right next to you. So I think this is a kind of fear on people's minds.
You met UN staff. What were some of the main concerns regarding safety and security?
I think this goes, Ben, to what was really a sea change in UN security. And you've heard the expression, stay and deliver. I think in years past, when things got rough, security incidents rose, the sort of default mode of the UN was to leave, particularly internationals to leave. That's changed. With this stay and deliver approach, it really focuses on security. It's not a reckless kind of we're going to do it regardless of what the security conditions are, but it's to very carefully analyze the threat, the risk to UN staff and their operations, and also how to mitigate those risks. So whatever the program, whether it be humanitarian, political, security, whatever, to enable the UN to stay, and you know the UN came to a country for a certain reason, we cannot leave when it's difficult. And in that, the UN works in countries that are the most difficult. We'd probably not be doing our duty if we didn't do our darndest, our best, to stay on board. I think also, and I feel this very strongly, the commitment to our national staff. And it bothers me. There's a duty of care. There's a responsibility of leaders, of managers, to look after people. It's hard to look after people when you're not on the ground with them, if you're not sharing what they're sharing and facing the same dangers and same concerns.
In 2009, October, we had this deadly attack on our guest house. And then April, 2 years later, we had an incident in which some of our UN staff were killed as well. Mm-hmm. What security-wise, safety-wise, has the UN and your department started doing differently to give that assurance of safety?
Well, if you look at it on the operational level, our biggest place, area where we have problems are our premises, our residences, offices, etc. There's dangers on the road, of course, elsewhere, but certainly in the residences. In fact, just recently here in May, we had the attack on the IOM facility in Kabul. Now, IOM is not UN, but IOM is part of the UN security system. I had a chance to look at their building. There were casualties. One international staff member lost her life. One national staff member was seriously injured. But the measures that were taken, and I can't go into them all publicly, to improve the security measures in that compound, safe rooms, warning systems, response systems, clearly reduced the loss of life that could have happened. It could have been much, much worse.
And in summary, your main takeaway from visiting Afghanistan?
Well, I came back with, I think, the message that we left to certainly the Afghan authorities, that the UN is there to stay, that we've got the Afghan people now and in the future. There's important work to be done to support the government, to provide assistance, to continue the developmental work, to support our mission there, our UNAMA mission, which is principally a political mission that plays a very important, a keystone role in Afghanistan. And we'll remain there and continue to serve.